Okay, good evening. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word, we pray your special blessing on this special chapter. Lord, often I say in prayer, we just want to know you better. We just want to draw close to you. So make that a reality for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, glad you're with us. Special psalm. It's the longest psalm, and of course it's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Opening my note page here. Psalm 119. Okay, it's the Word of God, and it's about the Word of God. And almost every verse in it, except for three verses, contains some reference to the Word of God. They're a little bit veiled because it will talk about precepts. It will talk about the Word, the way, commandments. And in a future episode, because it will be 3 weeks on this, in a future episode, I'll talk to you about the subtle differences contained in, like, the word precepts over against the word statutes. But for now, I think it's important that we just kind of get into it a little bit. I say a little bit. It'll be three parts. I'm going to do, like, the first seven, what I call octrains. I'm not even sure if that's a real word or not. But each section is an acrostic. The first eight verses, I say octrane, will all start with the same letter. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so that's how it goes. There'll be 22 sections with eight verses each. And so, like I say, the first one, which is the letter Aleph, all eight verses will start with the letter Aleph. And of course, this doesn't come across in English. When you translate from the Hebrew to the English, it doesn't start with the letter A necessarily. So there we go. Now, I'm going to show you as we go through here the Hebrew alphabet. If you have a study Bible, you'll probably see the symbol anyway. That's an Aleph. It's also the letter 1. I'm going to try to point. Hebrew, you're going to find out, reads from right to left. I was talking to our guide when we were in Israel, and I said to him that it seems like all the great languages of the world flow towards Jerusalem. Of course, his ears perked up when I said that. Everything east of Jerusalem, the writing is from right to left. Everything west of Jerusalem goes from left to right. So it, like the whole world, all the writing is going towards Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, the writing is from right to left. It would be wild to me if it was up and down, but it's not that way. So like I say, the line of demarcation seems to be Jerusalem. So anyway, that's the first letter. It's the letter Aleph, and it's also the number 1. It's when Hebrew is first written, in the time of Moses, back before like the Babylonian captivity gets changed, the original writing is called Paleo-Hebrew. And this is something that I'm going to tell you about that not everybody knows this. The letters are phonetic, like English. You know, something begins with an A. It sounds like, you know, a certain way. It begins with a B, you know, bat, bite, you know, and that's how it goes. Same thing in Hebrew, but it's also a pictograph, like a lot of the, you know, Japanese, Chinese, they have this picture writing. The letters are actual symbolic of something. Well, Hebrew has that characteristic as well. I'll show you a few things I think are kind of interesting. When it was first written, it looked kind of like an ox's head, and the symbol is for the head, the Aleph symbol. you say, well, that doesn't look like any head I've seen. But the original Aleph kind of did. Again, it's also the number one. So every time you're reading Hebrew, you're looking at a series of letters or a series of numbers, depending on how you interpret. And so every word has a numeric value. This isn't true of English. We have letters, we have numbers, and we can assign the letters a certain numeric value, but that's what we've assigned it. Like we can say, if you're into cryptology or something, you can say A is 1, B is 2, 3 is C, and so you spell the letter, the word cat, and so you spell it 3120, because the C is the third letter, A is the first letter, and T is the 20th letter. You can do that, but it doesn't really loan itself to that. So, and the reason I mention that, because when you start looking at the name of the Antichrist, and his name is his the number of his name is 666. That's true in Hebrew and it's true in Greek, and to a clumsier, less degree, it's true in Latin. Latin uses their letters and their numbers somewhat, but it's not true in any other language that I know about. It's not true in English. So we bring like our Western, our English to 13th chapter of Revelation. We try to determine, we take the word computer, and if you add the numerical value, it's 111. And of course, you got to multiply it by 6 because I don't know why, and it ends up 666. Therefore, computers are evil, and well, there's probably some truth to that, but for a whole different reason. Anyway, let's jump in. We're losing our time, and I don't want our time to get away from us. We got a lot of ground to cover. So, the first letter and the first octane here all starts with the letter Aleph, and it's equivalent to our A, kind of, because Hebrew is made up of 22 consonants, and there are no vowels whatsoever, which is a problem because now they have this vowel pointing kind of thing. Because, like, if in English I had the word BT, you'd say, is that bat? Is it bait? Is it bed? Is it beat? Is it bit? Bite? Is it boot? Bout? Is it butt? You don't know. And all those words mean something different. So Hebrew has that same problem. So the vowels are kind of more inferred than actually written down. So they have this vowel pointing. It's kind of complicated, and they make it out of consonants with dots, and it's you have to learn that separately after you learn all the letters if you want to read Hebrew. Okay, so the Aleph is symbolic for the head. It begins the words El, like Elohim, Amen, Ahava, which I'll teach you about later. And it reminds me of Colossians chapter 1. All the letters, in my estimation, speak about Jesus. Colossians chapter, because it's talking about the head, and it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church born, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All things, like you mean even the Jewish alphabet? I think all things. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's jump into chapter 1, I mean chapter 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Kind of reminds us of Psalm 1, does it not? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So we end up with two Beatitudes right from the first two verses. The blessings are to the undefiled who walk in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. See, everything is about the word of God here. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Now, for our intents and purposes, we can use the word statutes and judgments, way, commandments, precepts. We can use them synonymously for the word, and there are a little bits of nuance, and as we go, we'll talk about some of the nuances. Okay, the second section now is all starts with the letter bet. Bet is equivalent to RB. So we have the Aleph and the bet. Sounds like alphabet, right? Is that where we get the word alphabet? Maybe, but remember in Greek, that the first two letters are the alpha and the beta. Beta. So is that where we get the word alphabet? Who knows, right? They're very similar in that. This is a bet. It's also the number two. It's the pictogram is a house, a tent. It looks like a Bedouin tent. It's a house or household. And when you see in Hebrew or in English the word Beth, I think it's bet is how I've heard it pronounced the most. But I've heard some people say like bite, bet. So I don't know if it's accents or potato, potato. I don't read Hebrew. I'm not an expert. I know a few things. So anyway, when you see the word Beth in English, like Bethany, it means the house of sorrow. Bethel, the house of God. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Interesting that the bread of life was born in the house of bread. Now you already know a Hebrew word. Abba. Again, it reads from right to left. Aleph, Beth. And they're pronounced Abba. Now, I told you it was a pictograph. The head of the house, who's that? Well, it's the father. And if you know anything, we know the word Abba means father. So Hebrew, if you take the pictograms and they build on each other conceptually, you can read Hebrew with some accuracy. Can I give you an example? I'm getting ahead of ourselves, but I want to excite you a little bit about how this works. They had some products that come from the Dead Sea called Ahava. And I said, oh, that's the Hebrew word for love, isn't it? And he said, yes, that's correct. Aleph, Hey, Bet. I don't know if I made the bet backwards there or not. Oh, I'm looking in the screen, and it's like a mirror reflection. Anyway, so Ahava is the Hebrew word for love. You say, well, what about the concept? We have the father, Abba, and if you add an H sound, a hey, you add, it's the essence of the father. What's the essence of the father? 1 John. God is love. So there's the word for Hebrew. See how the concepts build on each other? You know, when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, he just added a hey. When he changed Sarai's name to Sarah, all he did was add a hey, a breath, essence. It also means behold, as we'll see later on. So I just want to, you know, give you some ideas. not you're not going to learn Hebrew here, but just it just to me it's kind of exciting. It's the language that God wrote the Old Testament in. Okay, let's go to the Beth section. Bet. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A lot of people ascribe that to like Bible memory, Bible memorization. And I'm not opposed to that. But I think it's talking about a love for the word. He didn't hide it in his brain. He hid it in his heart in a sense of loving scripture. I love it enough to memorize it. Well, again, I'm not arguing the point. You can memorize the whole Bible, and I think it's probably a wonderful thing to do. You know, they say the Sadducees and the Pharisees had the first five books of the Bible memorized. It didn't help them recognize Jesus. And that's not a man speaking against Bible memorization. I think you can learn the Bible in a clinical way and not have any heart for it whatsoever. And I think I've seen this in my life. Not personally, but in my lifetime, I've seen people who will know the word and know it better than you and have nothing but maybe disdain for it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Meditation here, I think read the word, know it, understand it, just get it inside. But meditate, that's a different kettle of fish, and I think we do well to meditate. What do you think about all day long anyway, you know? And I know that life makes us think about certain things, you know, that we have to take care of stuff. But when you have a moment or two, do you meditate? Do you chew the word of God? Do you swallow it down? Do you spit it back up? And regurgitate it and chew on it again. That's the ruminants, the animals that are clean have that in common. The ones with the four stomachs like sheep, like cows, like, you know, steer, like oxen. They have that, and they you see them, they call it chew the cud. What the cud is regurgitated grass, okay? I mean, if you want to get, but what they do is they eat and then they spit it back up, and they chew it again and swallow it again. And I think that it's kind of a pun, if you will. The Holy Spirit wants us to meditate, wants us to spit the word back up, re-chew it, rethink it, think about it. Beth, the second letter, and I said it means house or tent, Bethlehem, Bethany, Bethel, by it, temple. Okay, the Aleph Beth, or Abba, is the head of the house. And again, when you add the hay, it gives something its essence, or it's because it's also the word for wind or spirit. It's the letter that is a symbol for that. If you're going to have a symbolic language and you only use 22 characters, many of the symbols have to stand for more than one or two things. Okay, the third section, the third letter is Gimel. It's supposed to have the shape of a foot. Gimel. And it's also their number 3, Hebrew number 3. So it's kind of equivalent to our letter G. You see that, Gimel. They don't have the ABCs, they have the ABGs, in case you're wondering. So it's a foot. It's very close to the word camel in Hebrew. I think it's gamal or gamil. I can't remember. It's very close. It's walking away from. If you put bet, it's walking away from. I don't know what to make of that leaving. So, Gamal, it's you think about Exodus, the journeys. It kind of reminds me of that. Hebrews 11, I got a note here. I don't know why I have it. Now it's got me curious. The book of Hebrews 11, and this is a note under Gimel, verses 8 to 10. Oh, of course. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. For he looked for a city whose hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So you have that, like that Gimel is kind of a symbol of the foot leaving, and it, like, as you hear about it in the story of Abraham, it kind of, okay, let's go over that section here, the Gimel section. And by the way, they have a G, but they don't have a J, and they don't have a J sound. There's no J sound. What about all those Bible J names? What about Jerusalem? You mean Yerushalem? What about Jacob? You mean Yaakov? There's no J sound. What do they do if they run to, like, if a Hebrew is trying to say, like, John Kennedy? They won't say Yon Kennedy, will they? No, they'll say John, but they'll use the Gamal like we do for the word George, because they didn't have one in antiquity, the sound J, but they've assigned the letter G to cover that when it has the G sound, like a like Gimel, but it also has the J sound when they have to say J, like John. Okay, just I don't know what you do with that little tidbit of information. Gamal, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. So all those verses there in that octrain all start with the letter Gimel, our G. Okay, the next section is the Dalet section. And Dalet is a doorpost, and it's also the number four. That's all I have to say on that. Let's jump into the Dalet section. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck into thy testimonies, O Lord. I stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So there we have it, the Dalet section. All the verses there start with the letter Dalet. Obviously, when it says the letter Dalet, obviously it's duh. It's equivalent to our letter D. So if you read, if you find out all 22 characters and you know how they sound, you can at least read Hebrew. You won't know the meaning of the words, but you can sound them out and you can, with pretty good accuracy. Remember, again, they don't have any vowels. So if you see the word dalet, vav, dalet, you say, oh, that must be David. But of course, Hebrews say David. And we say Samuel. And they say Shmuel. So you may know, especially proper nouns, but it doesn't necessarily, the way they say words and the way we say words, it can be a totally different thing. Okay, now we're in the hey section, the fifth letter. Hey, this part here, it's just phonetics. Because I see it spelled this way, I see it spelled H-A-Y. I see Dalet spelled D-A-L-E-T or D-A-L-E-T-H. And Bet, B-E-T or B-E-T-H. This here is just phonics. It's just, okay, the hey is spelled, this is the letter hey. And all Hebrew words, like our letters, they have a phonetic spelling. Like D would be spelled D-E-E. If you play in Scrabble and you play D-E-E, it'll give you that. If somebody challenges it, because it's the phonetic spelling of the word, of the letter D. It's the same thing with Hebrew. But that's the letter, okay? And I'm not giving you the, I'm giving you the English phonetic spelling. And it's the number 5 also. Interesting to me, this means mouth, breath. You see, breath, wind, spirit, speaking, behold, essence. Again, this letter was added to Abram to make his name Abraham. You see how you, and to Sarai to make Sarah. Sarah is kind of is the idea. And this is all God did to change their names. He added this letter in the middle there. Now, I want to, I'll wait for a second. Anyway, this is hey, and let's go through the hey section. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, thy way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. So as I'm reading this, I think about Romans chapter 12. We were in Romans chapter 12 this morning in our study. And we're told to, we're besought, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on to say, and this is where I want to go, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we not conformed to this world, and how are we transformed by, well, you say by the renewing of your mind. Well, good, I agree. How is our mind renewed? And it doesn't give us any, okay, step one, step two, step three. Why? Is it kind of obvious to us that as we put the Word of God in here and learn it and live it out, that that's a transformative process? It certainly, we wouldn't be conformed to this world, as I, you know, gave an example this morning. As 70-something genders last anyone counted. Except we're not conformed to that thinking. We understand Scripture says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. And so we have that transformative renewal of the mind, and we don't think like everybody else. We're not like everybody else. We're not lemmings as they run off the cliff to their destruction. We don't join them. Our thoughts are different thoughts. Why? Because they're Bible thoughts. And as we, you know, pray, and these are all prayers, you know, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. That's a prayer. Lord, I want to go in your path. Make me do that. You say, aren't we delivered from the law? And here it's talking, I keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We're not under the law. Jesus died to take the penalty of the law, and that's what the law does. It penalizes. It does not reward. It doesn't like, you know, I did 58 decisions I made today. I made 51 of them good. The other 7, not so good. And so when you look at the law, it says, I got a pretty good score going for today so far. No. The law says you have to be perfect, and we simply can't. So we can't be under the law in order to obtain our righteousness. Now, having said that, how does God feel about lying or stealing or murder? Isn't God still against these things? Well, he is. And it's not the question is like, is adultery wrong? The answer is yes. We know it's wrong. The answer is, but the thing is, we don't not lie to try to earn heaven. We try to tell the truth because that's how God wants us to be. We're already going to heaven. And you say, that's kind of a subtle difference. Oh, no, it's all the difference in the world. You know, when we're religious, we try to do things. We try to earn God's love by doing and abstaining from certain things. Now that we have God's love, now that the question of heaven and hell is not even an issue anymore, we try to live in a way that pleases him. Living by not lying, not stealing, not committing adultery, honor your mother and your father, whatever it is that we're doing and not doing. We do these things to please God, not to try to earn our salvation. Okay, the next letter is Vav. It's also the number 6. Interesting. This is their, it's either pronounced like a V or a W, depending on, I think, accent, depending on how it's used in whatever word. As far as I know, it's the number 6. So if you see WWW, like the World Wide Web, when a Hebrew person looks at that, they'll see 666. I'm just saying. You say, Adam, computers are evil. Yeah, but for different reasons, not because World Wide Web equals 666. And I think they're only evil just the way we use them. Pornography is a big problem to a lot of my brothers are struggling, and sisters and children. And there's a lot of conforming to this world. There's a lot of cancel culture. There's a lot of things that are going on the internet that you have no business thinking about, knowing about, entertaining, or anything else. Anyway, the letter Vav, and again, it's like the letter V. The symbol is a nail. Pretty straightforward, right? And it's kind of like, there's not a lot of words that start with Vav. It's a connective. Well, a nail would be, right? Kind of like the word and. The Hebrew word for and is the letter Vav, starts with a Vav. So it's 6. And remember, you know, numbers in Scripture always mean something. We always talk about like the 7 is the Lord's number. And of course it isn't. It just means completion. The beast in Revelation 13 has 7 heads. what he has, the Lord's number heads? That doesn't even make sense. But it, when he's talking about six heads, it's talking about complete authority. Okay, he's the head over everything. He's been given headship. So, and remember that man was created on the sixth day. So when Revelation 13, 6, 6, 6 is the number of a man, I think it's the number of men in general. And it's the number of a certain man. I think you'll find that when the Antichrist is introduced, after the church is out of here, if you take his name in Hebrew, I don't think it'll be a Hebrew name per se. I don't think the Antichrist is Hebrew. I think the false prophet is, and we'll get into that some other time. But anyway, if you take his name in Hebrew or Greek, I bet it would add up to 666. That's what I'm thinking. Anyway, it's a V, like a V. It's also in the name of God, the Tetragrammaton, the Yod, He, Vav, He. We say Yahweh, some say Yahweh, because that is, like I told you, is a V or a W. You haven't learned yet the pictograph for the Yod. It's a hand. So the name of our God reads in pictograph language, behold the hand, behold the nail. I can't make this stuff up. You say, that's contrived. It's not. It's not at all. Anyone will tell you that Yod is a hand. They will tell you a He is behold or essence or breath. Vav is a nail. They're all symbol for that. It's way before I came along. This was so God revealed himself by this name. Jewish people don't say this name. They say Hashem. Hashem is Jewish for Ha, the Shem name. They'll say Hashem, the name, and they'll be referring to the Yod Hey Vav Hey. Just in case you were wondering. So again, it means behold the hand, behold the nail. You can't write this stuff. I thought that would bless you. Okay, let's read the Vav section, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So I said not many words in Hebrew start with the letter Vav. It's a connective. And you'll see verse 42 is so, verse 43 is and, verse 44 is so, verse 45 is and, verse 47 is and. It's like our X, not a lot of words start with X. So if we're writing like, you know, eight verses start with X, good luck, you know. After, you know, X-ray and xylophone, where, you know, we're going to be starting to struggle a little bit. Xenophobia, I think that starts with an X too. But like, try to do eight verses, be pretty tough. So anyway, that idea that there's a connective and it's not a typical beginner of words, that even kind of bleeds over into the English. You could see so and, you know, just a thought of a point. Okay, Zion is the letter, it's the number seven. It's the seventh letter of the alphabet. And it's the pictograph is a scepter. Gee, I wonder if that reminds you of any coming king or anything like that. The New Testament has seven declarations of Jesus as king. Jesus is our king. Hope you understand that. Zion, Z-A, Y-I-N phonetically. I could have spelled it Zion. And I wonder if there's a correlation or if just one of those happy accents in English. Here we have Zion. I think in the Old Testament, when it talks about Zion, it's making reference to the kingdom. I know most of Christendom does not believe in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. There's so much scripture on that. But I wonder, because Zion, like Mount Zion and a scepter, it's too right on to be coincidental to me. I don't, like I said, I don't know that much, so it must be, it might be nothing. I might be chasing something there that doesn't exist. Okay, Zion. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Boy, we know some of this, huh? Derision? Oh, yeah. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But I have not declined from thy law. I don't turn away from the word of God just because we're laughed at. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Okay, we'll end there with that portion. We're going to do another seven letters. That'll bring us up to 14, then we'll end with the last six letters in the third week of this from now. After Psalm 119, we'll go into the Psalms of Ascent, what the pilgrims sang when they went to Jerusalem for festival. That'd be an interesting thing as well. I think it's analogous to the Christian life, going from, what should I say, heathen to heaven, going from making that pilgrimage, that Christian pilgrimage. I think there's going to be some interesting stuff there. So let's pray. Father, we love your word. We love the psalm writer. He loves your word too so much. He wrote a big old psalm about it. But I think you had a hand in this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? For all the things you wanted to be profitable for in our lives. And Lord, it's a tremendous thing to know your word, to love your word, to live by your word, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind by your word. So Father, we just want to draw closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace.